Welcome to the Faith Church Podcast. On this podcast, Pastor David Crank helps us understand that God's Word is still relevant and has all the wisdom and guidance to help us figure out the crazy ups and downs in life. If you want to hear practical and inspiring biblical teachings, be sure to subscribe so that you can hear the latest message every week. And wherever you're listening from today, we believe God is going to speak to you and bless your life. Here's Pastor David with the message.
Come on, give it up for Jesus today and all of our campuses. Come on. Come on, you can do better than that, Faith Church. Turn me up, son. I can't hear. Look at your neighbor and say, you got blessed. You got to sit by me today at all campuses. You look good. By the way, I'm in Florida today at whatever campus you're at. I'm telling you, the worship, I'm sure, at your campus, because we sing the same set, was unbelievable. Can we give it up for the worship team and everything that's going on there? There's like a we're having some technical difficulties right now. And unless, I know it's a hand clapping day, but look at your neighbor and say, we're going to clap a lot today. Yeah. You know, you don't have to be a musician to appreciate music, to understand every detail of how to play the guitar. You don't have to understand it to know when they're good. And there's nothing better than an Eric Clapton, or I mean, I'll see some people, you're like, man, they can really, really play the guitar. I mean, like me, and you're not so good at the guitar, right? Or the piano. But it doesn't stop us from enjoying it. So today at every campus, I want you to think about, you don't have to understand everything about theology to understand the good news. I love that introduction at every campus today. This is the gospel. This is the good news. And by the way, I'm so proud of our churches that every church had choir robes on stage, singers. When I think of all the logistical craziness, it's pretty wild. So what is the gospel? The Bible said the gospel is good news, not bad news. It's good news. And the good news is ultimately that we don't get what we deserve. We get what we don't deserve, which is grace. We know that Jesus got what he didn't deserve. He never did any sin, and he became sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in Christ. So the first scripture I want to go to is Romans 1:16, and it says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, the good news of Christ. For it is God's power working unto salvation for deliverance from eternal death. In other words, we don't have to go to hell, and at Faith Church, we don't believe that we have to live in a form of hell here. And for everyone who believes, notice it's not that we do right, but we believe and have personal trust in and confident surrender and firm reliance on that Jesus is our Redeemer. So the good news is this. The good news is it's not what we do for God, is what God has done for us. Now, my daughter, she's here in St. Louis today. I believe she's at the Sunset Hills campus, and she's a singer, and she's a songwriter, and she's quite talented. But there are so many things that she's got in life that she only got because her daddy thinks she's amazing. Actually, she's me with hips and lips. Can I get an amen? She look like me. She act like me. The good part's the bad part. She got a tattoo when she was like 16 on her arm right here that says DC, like David Crank, X2. DC times two. So that just sealed her forever. That it's just there. Made her mom so mad. There's no I love mom. It's a DC times two. She understands that my love for her actually is not because of what she's done. It's because she came out from us. So when you got born again and you received the good news of the gospel, that you, believe it or not, are sons and daughters of the Most High God, that if Jesus had to die for our sins, he doesn't regret it. He'd do it again. Now, here's what happens. A guitar has six strings on a guitar, and if one of these strings are out of tune, like right now, see, I haven't messed with this one, but this one's probably in tune. I could, yeah, perfectly in tune. There it sounds good. And then all I have to do is, now it doesn't sound right because it's out of tune. By the way, this is a song I wrote when I got out of prison. See, he's filing out. Dad joking, anyway. If one of those strings get out of tune, it doesn't sound right. And here's what happens a lot of times in the church world. We get saved and receive Jesus. When we receive Jesus, we try to put in works. And that really disappoints God because he paid a debt he didn't owe. We owed a debt we couldn't pay. And because he was our spotless kinsman redeemer, the good news of the gospel is now when we ever try to add something into it, it knocks it out of tune. again, with my daughter. I brought this because I didn't plan on bringing it, but I saw it in her room. Again, she's a guitar player. And she wanted this guitar. I bought it at the Guitar Center here in Florida a while back. Notice that this case is pretty incredible because it's a very expensive guitar. And so it is totally encapsulated. In fact, it's got these locks all the way around it because they want it to stay in tune and they don't want it to mess up. In fact, I can't even seem to get in it. There must be another lock somewhere. There's one, the front one. There it is. Thanks, guys. Now look at this. This is a beautiful guitar, right? Isn't that really nice? Oh, gosh, I'm sorry. But this is in a case, why? Because of its value. Now, this guitar, I want you to think, is you. You are an instrument of righteousness, and you're either gonna be played by the devil or you're gonna be played by God. So this guitar isn't gonna really impress you except for its beauty, because I don't really know how to play the guitar well. My daughter does. She can sit here and play any song, Fleetwood Mac songs, and start picking away, and it's pretty amazing. But this, in my hand, doesn't do a lot of good. In the hands of my daughter, it's quite amazing. But what I want to show you is because of the value of this one, she traveled to New York. She just did an album in L.A. and different places. So she can actually put this on the airlines, and they can beat the fire out of it, because you've seen what they do to luggage. Come on, somebody. And because it's protected, because it's encapsulated, she doesn't worry about it. In fact, when it gets there, it's in perfect tune because of the encapsulation. Now, when you receive Jesus, you don't achieve it by being good. You receive it, and then now you are the instrument that he protects. So this next week, when you think you're bad, you're not out here exposed like these guitars. You are encapsulated with the blood of Jesus, the love of Jesus. Somebody ought to shout amen today, because you are valuable. Look at your neighbor and say, you're more valuable than you think you are. Now, if you're like me, and I believe you are, you focus oftentimes on what you're not. I think sometimes you're harder on yourself than you are other people. You would let other people buy with that, but you say stuff to yourself like, you always, you never, you'll always have this problem because, and then we get to thinking, because we're bad, raise your hand if you've done bad things. Let's try that again, because you're doing it again. You're lying in church. Come on, Sunset, everywhere, our city. Raise your hand if you've done bad things. Then the enemy reminds you of what you're not. That's why you have to remind yourself of who you are. You're a son and a daughter of the Most High God, and you have received grace. Okay, now here's what grace is. I want you to write this down. Grace is God's unearned, undeserved favor. So over the next couple of weeks, I'm going to try to drill that. So every time you see grace, you go, what does that mean? God's unmerited, undeserved favor. Let's all shout it at every campus. What's it mean? God's unmerited, undeserved favor. For the slow person next to you, let's say it again. Come on. God's okay, so it's God's unmerited favor. Ephesians 2, verse 8, it says this. For it is by what? Grace. Shout it. What's it say on the screens? It's by grace. What does grace mean? You're so smart and good looking. Isn't it rare that we all wound up in this same building? For by grace are you saved. Notice it doesn't say by works are you saved. Going to church are you saved. You should go to church. But tithing, you should do all these things. But it doesn't say that. It says by grace are God's undeserved, unmerited favor. Are you saved through faith? How'd you get it? Not by your works, through faith. You have to believe that you're forgiven even when you don't feel like you're forgiven. And if you have some unresolved conflict that happened, maybe molested or hurt or abandoned, some things that happened in your childhood, sometimes you look at people that are 60 and think they're 60, but they're still six. Occasionally I show up as a five-year-old. Anybody ever? And so we wonder, why are they behaving that way? Because mentally we have not received the grace of God through faith, understanding. It's not through ourselves or yourselves. You didn't get this. You didn't work for this. It was a gift. So back to my daughter. When I brought her this guitar, it was a lot of money. I went to the Guitar Center, and I put down my credit card, and I gave it to her. When we got in the parking lot, she did not come up to me and say, hey, here's $100. No, she just received the gift. In fact, that would have offended me, because then she wouldn't have gotten a free gift. She would have got a really good deal. Because like the guitar case is way more than $100. So this is what we do when we look at God and we go, I got saved, I received Jesus, I went to Fairview Heights, I went to Weldon, I went to Ferguson, whatever campus you're at today, RPC, and you go, I'm here, and now that I'm here, I've got to do good. Now we ought to try to do good, We shouldn't try to be bad because we accidentally are kind of natural at that. Getting quiet, you're all acting like, huh? So we're naturally prone to sin. When Adam and Eve started this whole thing, they screwed it up right away. We can judge them all we want, but I think that we would have probably done the same thing. Again, there are people here at St. Louis, they're here, they're just really quiet. So we are not focusing on what we're not or trying to measure up. I said this Tuesday night. My dad was a Highway Patrol Academy, top secret crypto in the armed forces, and then he became a preacher, and he was a preacher my whole life. My dad's baby pictures, he had a mustache. He was born with a mustache. I never saw him without a mustache. And one day I walked in his house, and he didn't have a mustache, and I'm like, what in the world? He looked younger. He looked cool. I loved it. I said, oh, my gosh, I love it. And he said, don't get used to it. He said, I just shaved it off, and he said, I did some things that weren't right. I sinned. And just like Samson, when this grows back, I'll know my anointing's coming back. And I was just a young man. But I didn't know much about theology, but it just, something didn't set right. Okay, let's get this straight. So Jesus went on the cross. He died next to two thieves. He went to hell. He came back. He's resurrected. But that wasn't quite enough to forgive you. If you shaved off your mustache, that's going to be the kicker. Now, it sounds funny now, but to him, he really was raised in a doctrine that said you had to measure up. He went to a church called the United Pentecostal Church, and no dig, they're phenomenal singers, they're amazing, but they believe that you can't cut your hair. They believe that women shouldn't wear makeup. I know that's not God. Come on, somebody right now. I got on mascara myself right now because I just got used to wearing it on Sunday, okay? So if you see me crying, I'm like, I can't cry, my mascara running, because if not, I just kind of look like an albino. I ain't got nothing but a five head. Come on, somebody. So makeup helps people. They say, you're shiny, you're five-inch shiny. So they put powder on me between it. I'm all for makeup. And all the women said, amen. Yeah. You can't wear makeup. You can't wear that which pertaineth to a man. There's a scripture in the Bible that says you can't wear that that pertaineth to a man. Now, they took the scripture out of context, so they're getting conned by the text. That means that women can't wear pants. So at youth camps, these people are going to ride horses in a skirt. How many of y'all know that ain't God? They're swimming and their skirts are floating up because they can't wear a swimsuit. This is all man-made religion. In other words, it's saying, God, you didn't be enough. Your blood wasn't enough. And what we're doing is we're putting a bunch of the law in there and saying, if we do good, we get good. And we can understand that because we know that makes sense. But here's what doesn't make sense, but it's the good news. We don't have to do good to get good because he is good. Somebody ought to shout amen. And here's the kicker. That makes you want to do good. Because when you and I do something stupid, anybody ever went on a diet? Just the first three letters sucks, right? Die. All right, so we go on a diet and we try to curb our appetite. Then when you fall off the wagon, have you ever fallen off the wagon? I fell off the wagon. I don't even know where the wagon's at. I don't even know. The wagon is gone, right? So I fell off the wagon, and now that I'm doing bad, I go, screw it. I messed up. Now give me some ice cream. And I just don't want regular ice cream. I want candy inside the ice cream. Come on. I want whipped cream on it. And then I go down a track of self-sabotage. So when I do bad, I think I am bad, so then I continue to do bad. But when you realize that you're the righteousness of God in Christ and you have been put in this protective coating and you're covered by the blood, then when you do bad, you have an advocate with the Father. And then 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, not to a priest, we have a high priest. When we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all, A-double-L, all unrighteousness. But if you're thinking, man, I can't cut my hair, that'll get me to heaven. Can't wear makeup, that can't get me to heaven. No, that just make you go to heaven looking ugly. Come on, somebody, just put it on and receive the gift of his mercy and his grace. Who am I preaching to today? At every campus, give God praise. I asked our team to pull something up on TikTok. I said, just find a guy smashing a guitar. I don't even know if this is a famous man or not a famous man, but these guys are smashing these guitars. Anybody ever seen people do this? Tearing up a perfectly good guitar. And the reason why I showed you that is because I think that's what we do to ourselves. Wow. We take a perfectly good instrument, say, you're bad, you don't deserve love. And what we're doing, I use that as an example to show you that this is what you do when you self-sabotage. That's going to take a while. That's why I say, give me a year. Give Faith Church a year. Go through Growth Track. That's where you connect with God, connect with people, discover your purpose and make a difference. Every campus has that today. It takes one setting that you go in and you get into Growth Track. Don't leave without doing it today. If you put off to tomorrow, you won't do it. So do it today. Everybody shout, do it today. Then you discover who you are, what you're called to do. And then you start self-sabotaging. If you do the things I'm telling you to do and you renew your mind, a year from now, you'll have to introduce yourself to yourself because you will not recognize yourself. Because you have a revelation of who God is. Romans 5, verse 20, it says this. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. In other words, God said, I brought the law into it so you can see that you're a sinner and there's a problem. Then he said, but where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. So his grace is sufficient for you. So where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. So when you sin, you have an advocate with the Father, and the devil comes in and says, you're no good, you're no good, you're no good. David, you're no good. And then another demon goes, come on and say it again. You're no good. You're no good. You're no good. And then you get to thinking, I'm no good. No, no, no. We understand. Let's put that scripture up again. We understand that the law proves that we were sinners, but now we are saved by grace. What's grace mean? Come on, for the slow person next to you, say, I'm going to help you with this. Look at this. I'm going to help you. What's it mean? God's unmerited favor. So in other words, my daughter didn't do anything to deserve the guitar, but her daddy had a little bit of bling, bling, cha-ching, cha-ching, or a credit card. So I went in and bought her what she didn't deserve. Her room in Florida, which she rarely comes to, that guitar's just sitting in there. And there's a bunch of other guitars sitting there. But there's something when I walk down the hallway of the house and I hear her picking those songs, and it just makes me happy. I wanted to give her the tools to succeed so she could write songs and be a performer. And now she and her team is nominated for a Grammy in the Latin world this year. Come on, somebody, for doing what she's doing. Yeah, I'm bragging, but I'm saying that God's bragging on you. He's saying, look at my son, look at my daughter, going to church, going through Growth Track, getting in a group, changing their life. I woke up singing, you and I must make a pact. We must bring salvation back. And if I'll be there to protect you. Little Michael, wasn't he cute? He's like, you and I must make a pact. We must bring salvation back. And if there's love. That's what I said. We and I must make a pact. We got to bring back unadulterated salvation, unmerited grace and favor in our life. Galatians 2 verse 21 says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. What's grace mean? You're getting it close. Let's put it up on the screen so they can really see it. This, you're doing good, by the way, because it's a lot. Let's put it on the screen. God's unmerited favor so they can see it. I know there's a guy back there right now having a heart attack. Goes, where's the file? Where's the file? Just pretend it says it. God's unmerited favor. You got all kinds of stuff going on. So don't frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ died in vain. In other words, you can't be good enough to earn God's love. The moment you think you're saved on performance, you stopped playing the guitar correctly and you started knocking it out of tune. Now, when the guy picks up this Fender later and he tries to close in a song, he's gonna notice that that one's out. It's not a big deal. But you know what, I haven't been to church in a while. Let's just say, take that one out. And then, you know what? I just think I'll watch online occasionally and pay my bills on the time. You are getting yourself out of tune, out of tune, out of tune. So you're going to sound terrible when we go live with this. But a lot of you today went into church, took a shower, hopefully, brushed your teeth or soaked your dentures, went to church, did your weave, did your nails, glued one on, whatever you had to do, beat some kids on the way into church, walked in and saw a greeter and said, praise the Lord, and you made it today. Even when you didn't feel saved, you did what you knew you needed to do by faith. Come on, give God praise today at every campus. So stop playing the wrong song. So stop being your own worst critic. Give yourself a break. Give yourself a break. Stop being so hard on you. When you wake up in the morning, don't be, No, see, when he woke me up this morning, and my cup was overflowing, and then you start worshiping the Lord. You start getting up and saying, I'm blessed, I'm favored. I don't know how to do this. Watch this, I'll just teach you this. ChatGPT is a phenomenal opportunity. So let's go here. ChatGPT, it's just an app on your phone. I want to start making some declarations every day, one of like, no weapon formed against me, and other positive affirmations, and put some emojis on it too, because I'm a visual learner, it might help me. Okay, let's see what happens. I feel it, it's going. Okay, first of all, it says, that's a great idea. Speaking God's word over your life daily, it'll set the tone of victory for your whole day. Here is your declarations every morning. It goes like this. I am the righteousness of God in Christ according to 2 Corinthians 5:21. No weapon, it's got a blood sign. No weapon formed against me shall prosper, Isaiah 54:17. You got this going on. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me according to Philippians 4:13. Big old heart, pink heart with some gold stuff on it. It says, I am loved with an everlasting love, Jeremiah 31:3. Then fire emoji, greater is he that is in me than who that is in the world, 1 John 4:4. Then it's got a bunch of stars and it says, I am blessed and highly favored according to Luke 1:28. Then it's got like a seed, a flower shoot coming up, and it says, I am like a tree planted by streams of living water. I will prosper in all that I do. Psalms 1 verse 3. Then it's got a dove. God's peace guards my heart and my mind according to Philippians 4 verse 7. It's got a big old crown that says, I am more than a conqueror through him that loved me and gave himself for me. This is my declaration. You got a preacher right here. Come on, zoom in on that. Every campus, I want to see right. There it is. ChatGPT. You can ask this thing anything. How are babies made? It'll do anything. So stop using excuses because you can't make excuses and make progress. There is a sound that needs to come from your instrument, and it needs to be one that's in tune with the word of God, one that is serving, one that is worshiping, and one that is fulfilling God's call on your life. Come on, give God radical praise today. Are you learning anything? Raise your hand if you're learning anything. Can we get that statement up? Did we ever find that statement so we can kind of practice that? About God's unmerited favor? Yeah, there we are. Let's all read it together, every campus. What's it say?
God's unmerited.
Sounds good. Now, in St. Louis, we're 70% Catholic, okay? So they like it when I do this. I'll practice it, then we'll all do it together. God's unmerited, undeserved favor. They love it, I promise you. You know Dr. Mike Fasella's like, yeah, I love that, man. He's like, I pray in the morning, do my Hail Marys. They still do all this in our church. So let's just do it like you're Catholic. Let's go. God's unmerited, undeserved favor. One more time. Ready?
God's unmerited, undeserved favor.
Give yourself a hand. That's incredible. What? Somebody, I can feel him like, do it the Baptist way. God's unmerited, undeserved favor. Yeah. That's one way to do it. I just wanted to give them equal time. Come on, somebody, just a little Baptist, little Catholic. That's the deal at our church. People are doing this and this at the same time. Titus 2 verse, I don't know if I did a bad gang sign. If I did, forgive me, I'm not familiar. Titus 2 verse 11. For the grace. What's grace mean, class? Oh my gosh, you're killing the game. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. Notice it says the present world. It doesn't say, I'm giving you this information so when you get to heaven, you can live free from sin. Now, when you focus on sin, you're gonna really get good at sin. Oftentimes, I tell you, this is a cheat sheet for you, that preachers preach what they're dealing with, okay? So if you get a preacher that's like, you shouldn't run around with women, and you got a lust problem, and you got a pornography problem, don't leave that joker with your wife. He got a problem. Okay? It's just a little trick. Because what's in their heart is coming out of their mouth, all right? That's a little trade secret there. But guess what we're doing? We're not focusing on sin, because we got that master. We're doing a terrific job. When you were a little kid, nobody taught you to lie. My little grandson just lies already. We didn't teach him to lie. He lied. My little four-year-old grandson came up to me last night. He's got this little pony, and he said, "Hey, I want to introduce you to my friend." He walks me over to a beautiful little blonde girl that's five, and he goes, "Meet Papa." He looked at her, and I saw the way he looked at her, and I said, "This isn't good." Oh, Jesus, help us. Nobody taught him to like girls. Nobody taught him this. It just comes naturally, okay? Look at your neighbor and say, "You're a player." No, don't do that. So God is saying for us to live righteous and oppose ungodliness, that what we need to do is focus on the fact that Jesus saved us with his grace. Now, this does not give us a license to sin. This says this grace doesn't give us a license to sin. It gives us the power to live differently. So it's not, "Well, you know what? You're giving people a license to sin." Well, I found out a lot of y'all sinning without a license. Austin, come here, jump off the stage real quick. So some people in St. Louis might not know who you are. This is my son, Austin. He was in St. Louis last week. Remember that motorcycle that guy gave me, that chopper or whatever? I drove it to the garage, and that's where it's always been. I've never driven it again. And subsequently, it doesn't have any license plates on it. So he doesn't know that. So him and Micah go to my barn this last week in St. Louis, and they said, "I'm going to ride it." I said, "That's fine." He got out and said, "There's no license plate." Micah said, "Not a problem. In Sunset Hills, all the cops love us. They all work at the church and do security. It's not a problem. They're there right now. Give it up for all the cops. Give them a donut." Okay, so I said, "Not a problem." But then he goes on and says, "I'm not worried so much about that not having a license plate. I've never gotten a license to ride a motorcycle." So it never stopped him. Stop him when next time he's here. He's been driving a motorcycle. We went to bike week. We've been all over. And he's never taken the time. He's got a driver's license for a car, but he ain't got a driver's license for a motorcycle, but it ain't stopping him. So I'm telling you that people don't have to have a license to sin to sin. So this isn't giving people the license to sin. This is giving them, it says right here, the power to live differently. Give God praise today in his house. Next slide. God's blessing doesn't come from your goodness, but it does come oftentimes from your faithfulness. Now, today is Sunday. Yesterday, I had Billy, one of our team members from St. Louis, he came down. He spent a couple days with me. Billy's incredible, and our staff's amazing. And I was telling Billy, I said, "Billy, you're just amazing. It's hard to find people like you. You're rare." He's like, "Oh, don't do this, right? No, don't do that." And I said, no, don't do that. You're just faithful. And when you employ a lot of people, and we do, it's hard to find good people. If you employ people, you know what I'm saying? It's hard to find good people. And I went on to tell Billy, I said, "Man, Billy, sometimes I think that's why God didn't kill me. And because he's blessed me, because it's not that I don't do everything right for sure." But he goes, "It's hard to find good people." And he keeps showing up. And something went off in his head. He said, "But you," and he started, I don't want you to show this video. He started talking about these campuses because he helps manage these campuses. And he started saying, "Oh, well, the Sunset Hills campus, and thousands of people go there." Look, he might be sitting in that building right now. And you go through, he started going through all the churches that I built. And I said, "I didn't build those because I was good. God built those churches in spite of me and brought people who were sinners and paid for it. And now I can't take credit." All I do is when he started talking about it, I thought, well, just show it off. And all these churches and all the things that are happening and all the thousands of people that are at church today, it's not because I was perfect. It was because I was one of the only preachers who went on and told people that I'm a sinner. You've heard me say this. Before I was a pastor, I was a man. I still think girls beside my wife are pretty. And I go, "Oh, turn away. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus." Some of you don't like this. You're like, "I don't want my pastor to be like that." You want a liar? I'm here to tell you, and it doesn't go away. I saw a guy at the mall. He was 80 years old, pushing a wheelchair. Saw a hot girl, and he's like, turn me around. And I thought, it's never apparently going to go away. The lust of the flesh, the pride of life are always going to try to take you out. So if you focus on what you're not, you'll never build God a church. What I did was said, "Hey, I'm a non-genetically modified pastor." There's no fluff here. I'm going to tell you who I am, what I was, who I'm still trying to be, then I'm going to focus on greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And I must be pretty valuable considering the case that I've been carrying around in right now. And the devil is trying to drop you and throw you up in an airplane. You come out all battered and bruised, but the instrument was protected. You are not what you did. You're what you do. You are not what you did. You are what you do. Give God praise at every campus. Come on. Fairview, I see you. Ferguson, Weldon, everybody. So as we kind of do the final strumming on this, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 says this. And he said unto me, my what?
Grace.
Grace. Shout it again loud. What?
Grace.
What's grace mean, genius? Say it like the Catholics. God's unmerited, undeserved favor. So fun. Aren't you glad you go to a fun church? And he said unto me, not your neighbor, unto you. Put your name in there. If you don't have a Bible you can write in, take the Bible that you got, put it in a glass case and get you one you can write in. And in your Bible, put in there, unto me, David Dwayne Crank. And he said unto David Dwayne Crank, my grace is sufficient for thee. Build the church where God guides, he provides. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. I use the foolish things to build the church. So you're trying to get cleaned up to come to Christ. That's like trying to take a bath before you take a shower. I need to pre-clean before I clean. No. You don't come to church when you're cleaned up. You don't live the dream when you're cleaned up. You come to church, get in growth track, get in a group, and then God begins to clean you up, and then you realize it's okay to be weak. It's okay to have a lust issue. It's okay to have a drinking problem. It's okay for you right now to say, I have been bound by weed. Now, here's what I tell people when they smoke weed. I say, while you're smoking weed, say, I hate smoking weed. I can't stand smoking weed. I don't like smoking weed. Smoking weed makes me sick. And your brain will be like, no, it doesn't. I like it. You'll watch my sermon, laugh, eat a bunch of pizza. Come on, somebody. I know who you are. They're at Fairview Heights. We're on this side of the highway today. And right across the street from us is the biggest weed store you've ever seen. I think it's called like most, Ascend. It's like Ascend. So you got people trying to get high over here, and you got people serving the Most High over here. These people are walking around like zombies, and this people on this side of the highway are saying, I'm blessed, I'm favored, I'm motivated, I'm successful. Come on, somebody. Okay, keep that scripture up there. Keep taking it down like they've been caught doing something bad. He said it to David Crank, put your name in there. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So when you sin, go ahead and say like I just did. People look at me and they go, oh, if I get on an airplane and you get on an airplane, people, if you were on with me, they always walk on and they see me. And because I got a billion miles from pastoring churches everywhere, I sit in first class, they upgrade me. And so I'm sitting there and they walk past me and they go, oh, thank God you're here. I was afraid. And I look at him and think, you don't know who I am. I just got strip searched by the TSA, and I didn't say curse words, but I was thinking curse words. But they look at me, and they think I represent God, and they're right. But I'm telling you, you need to say the same thing. When you get on a plane, it has been hijacked by you and your encasement, and it'll never go down. Only with your eyes will you see the reward of the wicked. Raise your hand if this is helping you right now. You are not what you did. You're an instrument of righteousness. So God's grace works best in our weakness. They got a slide. For God's grace works best in our weakness. So the weaker you are, the more glory it gives God. Now as I close, I love AA. Hear me yelling. I love AA. Helps so many people. Some of my dear friends celebrate it. But here's one thing, if they were to ask me that they could really improve at AA. They say, once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. Here's the problem I have with that. If you're always saying you're an alcoholic, you'll believe you're an alcoholic. You might have tendencies to abuse alcohol. But the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away. Dead, buried, and behold, all things have become brand new. So I don't espouse to that thought process because the part of your brain, the limiting belief parts of your brain, goes, I'm always an alcoholic. Now, don't put yourself in positions where you're tempted to do whatever the substance was. And by the way, I think when you get to heaven, you'll be surprised who's there. I think Michael Jackson's there. That's why I sang his song today. You and I must make a pact. We must bring salvation back. I believe that God has the ability to put stuff in people's lives. Somebody told me the other day that Ozzy Osbourne, a personal friend of his, gave him a Bible years ago, and he would sleep with it. He would take it everywhere in the world. And wouldn't it be wild? The guy who was biting heads off of a bat gets to heaven, and your favorite TV evangelist didn't go. Wouldn't that be a wild thing? So I think there's a whole lot more people going to heaven than you think is going to heaven because God is negotiating with people in the last moments of their time. Give God praise for his grace and his sufficiency. So think about this. If you think you're bad, you're probably going to do bad. If you think you got something to fall back on called the grace of God, you'll probably be less apt to do it. Then you start making those confessions to ChatGPT. I might even post that on my Instagram today so you can just steal mine because it's really, really great. I loved it. Emojis were fabulous. But you start renewing your mind because you have pathways, neural pathways in your mind. The neuroplasticity of your brain begins to think, I'm this, I'm that, I'm that. And you become sin conscious. Some people are weight conscious. Some people are people conscious. Some people are subconscious. Some people are unconscious. We want you to be God conscious. And as soon as you sin, and you will, don't run from Jesus. A lot of times people don't go to church because they're like, man, I need to go to church because if I go to church, oh man, it just reminds me of what I'm not. Well, you're going to the wrong church. Because a lot of times people do point the finger at you that, you know, don't smoke, don't chew, and don't run with girls that do. You're going to hell. You know you're bad. You're like, I know I'm bad. I know I'm bad. And now you're just going to leave feeling horrible. But when you go to a church like this, and you're saying, I'm blessed, I'm favored, I'm anointed, I'm learning language to help reprogram my brain. I understand now what grace means. What's grace mean, class? And like the Catholic, we had some Catholics in there. That was the regular version. We had a couple Catholics. So let's go ahead and represent the Catholic. Okay, ready? God's unmerited, undeserved favor. That was you. I hear your tone now. Give it up for the guy. Were you Catholic or are you just playing along? What were you? Heathen? Whatever this is what you are? Hey, jump up here. Let me show you off. So, go ahead. I love it. He's like, I don't know. You jump up there real quick. You climb up on that speaker. He doesn't even know what he is, but when I said, what is it? He goes, God's unmerited, undeserved favor. He was so good, I thought he was Catholic. Then I asked him, what are you? He said, I don't know. Whatever this is, that's what I am. How many of y'all know that's a good idea, right? I believe that labels limit you. If you're going down, your tag will burn off. If you're going up, it'll fall off. So just identify with, I'm a born-again believer in Jesus and his righteousness and his blood. Come on, you single?
Yeah.
Okay, DM me. I'll give you his number. He knows the drill now. Come on, get out of here. One more time. Give it up for that great guy. I didn't even get his name. All right. Stand up with me. Did you have fun today? I don't want anybody leaving from any campus. They'll send me videos of you walking out the door. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to make some confessions. And then I think I want to sing that song. When I woke me up this morning. So get ready for that one real quick for you. I want you to say this like you mean it and believe it, and you probably won't believe it until you say it for a while. But if you say it long enough, you'll start believing it. Shout, I believe that I am today the righteousness of God in Christ. I believe that no matter what I have done or what I would accidentally do, God's grace is sufficient for me. Like the guitar, I'm in a protective case called the grace of God. I'm protected, I'm anointed, I've been handpicked, chosen by Almighty God. And I go to church every week. I bring my kids to church. I tell my friends about church because it changes their life. Shout, it is my responsibility to tell my friends about the goodness of God. I don't just invite people to my church. I bring people to my church. My family is my responsibility. So I'm going to be full of joy, full of love, full of grace for myself and my fellow man. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said amen and amen.